Welcome to China Horse Business, the one and only podcast focusing on the booming Chinese equine market, bringing to you by two experts of Chinese equine industry, Zoe King and Wen Li, from Shanghai and Beijing, introducing China to the world.
Good morning, Zoe. How's it going?
Hi, Wen. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Spring's here. Wonderful weather for horse riding and outdoor sport.
Absolutely. Everywhere is crowded in Shanghai. A long-waited spring for Shanghai is finally making its comeback.
Good. But in today's China news, we will go to Canton in the south of China.
Yes, the third edition of Canton Equestrian Festival and the third step of Canton Equestrian League have been held in Shenzhen, Shangwu International Equestrian and Archery Club. We've introduced this club in Season 3, Episode 15. Go back there and listen more.
In this three-day event, 9 jumping equestrian have been organized for different level riders, mainly from Shenzhen, Shantung, and Dongguan cities. In addition, a race on the beach was also on the program for the first time, which attracted many spectators.
Racing on the beach is just awesome, but we hope the horse fair has been carefully taken into consideration by the organizer.
For sure. Among these Cantonese riders, we can find Mr. Li Zhenqiang and his horses. He's a 2-time Olympic rider for China team and founder of Camelot Equestrian Club in Dongguan. For more information about him and his club, please go back to Season 2, Episode 4 and Season 2, Episode 25.
Now, Mr. Li expanded his equestrian empire to Shenzhen. Let's tune in today's China Club session.
The Zhenqiang Camelot International Equestrian Club in Shenzhen is located in an industrial zone in Nanshan District of Shenzhen. We introduced another club in the same area early in Season 3, Episode 2. Shenzhen is considered as the Silicon Valley of China, and Nanshan District is a new hub where wealthy families centralized in recent years.
This new location shows the ambition of Camelot in taking part in Shenzhen, making it a strategic city in the development of Canton equestrian sports.
As the new club was transformed from an industrial factory, the big indoor arena is inevitably divided by some upright column in the middle. It seems less spacious than its home base in Dongguan, but as a window club, it will facilitate their members living in Shenzhen and attract more new young riders.
It is true that the new generation of Chinese riders may have different approach in riding. For today's China's story session, I talked to Yuan Feng. She's representing a Swedish equestrian brand in China. She shared quite a lot of insights on the market trends. Listen out. Hello, Yuan. How's it going?
Hi, Zoe. I'm good. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for making time to join our podcast today. I know you are based in Beijing. You and your partners recently joined our China Horse Business webinar to introduce yourselves and your brand. It was so interesting. So today I would like to make extra time and to let our listeners on the podcast to know more about you and your brand.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity for the sharing in the group and also this opportunity to speak more on the brand and the stories behind.
Yeah, so very interesting. Yuan, I know you are not someone originally from the horse industry, or you are, you are very, like, you just got into the horse industry not for so long. So what's the story behind? Why did you get interested in this industry suddenly?
Yeah, you are so right. I was not close or anything familiar with not just the horse industry, just horse in general. I wasn't familiar with it at all before the year of 2021. But I was super into sports though. But my personal sports were more into like powerlifting in the gym, CrossFit. But unfortunately, I got a knee injury and did a major surgery in 2021. So after that, I had to step away from all my previous sports. And that's why and when I started to explore something new, something a new sport that more that is more gentle on my knees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried a few. To be honest, but until the first time, like literally the first time when I got on a horseback, I was like immediately hooked. And then I became a new rider at the age of 31, 32. And that's why I started looking for riding gears and riding apparels. And I was pretty much trying all the apparel brands on the market, everything I can try, all the products. And by then I just wasn't, I couldn't find anything that really satisfies me in terms of both functionality and the style, the design of it. Because personally, I was in fashion and luxury industry prior to Yagya. I also did sports startups prior to Yagya. So the fashion side and both the fashion and functionality side in apparels are very important to me, and I couldn't find anything until I find Yagya. And that's why I got really interested in the brand and in the industry and started exploring, and the story goes on from
Yeah,
there.
great. So, when was that? When did you first like put yourself on the horseback?
That was like late 2021,
Okay.
only not long ago.
Two, 3 years enough for you to fall in love with sports and decided to really step into the industry.
Yes.
Great. So on one hand, you are very fond of horse riding. On the other hand, you take the fashion and design and functionality part very into serious consideration when you ride. So I wonder, is the same for the Chinese riders of your generation, maybe even younger generation? How can you describe them?
I think I can't speak for all, but from my own observations, I think the major riding group in China, age-wise, right now is kind of lay on the opposite sides of the spectrum. Either they are professionals that grew up riding, mostly male in their 30s, 40s, or on the other side, the young riders, teenagers, under U23, U18-ish. And there was this gap, almost a decade of age gap, lacking the riders in the middle between the two. Someone like me, someone around my age, in their mid late 20s or in their early 30s. So, but I think very gladly we are seeing this group. It's actually rising, especially with female new riders. And I think this group is super unique. Even though they didn't grow up writing, but they do bring in a different perspectives on what they want in from the extreme lifestyle. They have a matured lifestyle already. They understand who they are, what they want. Maybe they don't take writing as serious as the other competitive writers, but they all have a very strong bond and connection with the sports. And even though they might not be competing, but they take riding as a lifelong hobby or event, and take equestrian lifestyle as one of their major aspect of their own life. So that's how I see this new generations of group is rising. It's so exciting to me.
Yes, totally agree. And when you talk about when we talk about the Chinese writers nowadays, they really as you said, they really want to embrace this equestrian lifestyle in their daily life. Of course, on when they're riding, but also in their daily life. So, from your observation, what kind of riding clothing do Chinese riders desire the most?
I think riding clothing in general, either is for Chinese riders or the global riders in general, the functionality of it is always crucial to everyone. The protectiveness, the breathiness, the stretchiness of the materials, they're always very important. And I think the Chinese riders have already started to experience a variety of brands and products in the recent years. But with this new rising generation I was just describing, I think this group, especially with the females in this group, are more particular. And I think they they don't just settle for the functionality part of the clothing. They also have a particular ask in the design, in the style, in the story behind the products, the brand, also the values a brand is standing for. That's also, they have to align with the values. So I think we want our riding clothing to speak for our taste, our aesthetics, our lifestyle. At the same time, we require the top-notch quality. And as the females, I think as the females writers specifically, we like a brand that actually understands the female body, the silhouette of our female bodies, the elegance of our female bodies. On top of that, everything other than the products, I think the writers are really taking sustainability, conscious manufacturing, and production a lot more serious these days.
Yeah,
So
wow.
yeah, I
A lot
think
of elements put together.
a lot. That's a lot. I think yeah, at Yag Yag, we always say we are presenting a new approach to writing, but I think actually it's the writers and also the brands, they are pushing the new approach together. In this new writing generation, they are starting to approaching writing in this new perspective. So everyone has to evolve. It's either it's Chinese writers or global writers.
In the second part of my conversation with Yuan, she will talk about their business model and marketing strategy on Chinese market. Please stay tuned.
The founder of Yagya spoke on our latest China Horse Business Live webinar. It is always interesting to discover new brands in our industry.
Totally. Guys, if you want to introduce your products and services to Chinese equine community, you can write to us at contact@wonder-horse.com.
And don't forget to click subscribe and leave us a comment on the podcast.
Awesome. Stay tuned for the weekly China Horse Business Podcast, bringing you the latest information on Chinese booming equine market.
Okay, see you next week.
See you.
This podcast is co-hosted by Zoe King and Wen Li, powered by Wonder Horse, a business solution provider focusing on Chinese equine market and a bespoke equestrian community in China.